Star Trek 57, M23, take two.
It's the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
Are you ready for the time of your life? Because I'm here to give that to you. Dendru's the name, or you can call me your new best friend on your personal journey to De-Stress Station. And this is the Cessnar Grand. Thanks to our planet's one-of-a-kind intoxicating atmosphere, each visitor experiences a one-of-a-kind customized journey that will provide exactly what they need to relax. Speaking of relaxing,
this is a place to say no way to those icky parts of your daily life, even
technology. That's right, this is a tech-free zone. The only focus here is living your best life. Atmospheric effects harmlessly wear off shortly after departure. Arrival on the planet is an explicit release of all liabilities on the part of Cessnar Grand or its employee.
Alpha Crew is taking shore leave.
Hello and welcome to a podcast.
This is going to be this.
No,
it's
going to
be like this. The longest running podcast in human history.
It's going to be like this tonight.
It's not going to be like this thing. This is fine.
It's.
Welcome to
the
It's Got Star Trek podcast.
My friends, you're here. Hey, rumors, something ugly is going down in here.
Oh, hey, Mom.
Hey.
Hi. Hey.
Hi.
Formal hello.
Hello, me again. Oh, hey, I didn't see you there. Just kidding, I did.
Formal hello, I'm USS Christopher Pike.
I promise you, this will be the best shore leave ever.
All right. So we've welcomed.
I did.
We've welcomed the audience.
Kidding.
Are we going to talk about what the name of the episode?
Yes.
Are we going to get to that?
We're getting to that in just a moment. So welcome to the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
Hey, rumors, something ugly is going down in here.
Oh, hey, Mom.
Hey.
Hi. Hey.
Hi.
Formal hello.
You never know. Me again. Oh, hey, I didn't see you there.
It's my mistake.
You never just know kidding. What he's I did. Going to pick up on.
It's my mistake, Jesse. But it's an
assemble.
It's a happy mistake.
Yeah. From episode to episode, it's always it's a wild card.
Look. I know we got more stuff to go before we get started, but I've been looking forward to this all week.
Chilly.
You hear that guy going, victory!
Yeah.
Listen to this.
Yeah. Chilly.
Yeah. And then later the guy wearing Scotty's shirt. Anyway, we'll get into it. I've been looking forward to this conversation for two reasons.
Yeah,
one is, look, spoiler alert, I really enjoyed this episode. But
spoiler alert.
But mainly for Dan's sounds. And I imagine that Dan might have had to work extra hard this week to clip all these hilarious sounds.
Come back soon, you know you want to. Come back soon, you know you want to. Come back soon, you know you want to. Come back soon, you know you want to.
didn't have the punchline I expected.
Did you get like the it's green, it's green? Like when
I'm sure you got like, the it's green. For that one, Dan, what you just played, I thought the punchline was going to be you playing the song from Grease. It's like, I got chills, they're multiplying.
That's more like what you would
do. Oh, playing that?
Yeah, play the song.
Come back soon, you know you want to.
Oh, you thought I was going to do a Grease
thing? You got
thing?
Chills, they're multiplying. I don't like Grease, by the way. I don't, no offense to people who do. I'm a musical man, but I do not enjoy Grease, Rent, or Cats. I like Music Man, Sound of Music.
I don't think it's fair to compare Cats to Grease. I think Grease is probably better than Cats.
Oh, Grease is better. I'm stressing here. This is what I enjoy. Not what I respect. Not what I think is musically
Cats
valid.
Cats has some
or
like really like ultra famous catchy tunes. Yeah, too, but
I don't know.
That's what that guy's deal is.
Yeah. I'm not. By the way, I like Phantom. I like other songs by Sir Mix-a-Lot.
Here and there.
No, this is the reason I did it this way is because this is like a perfect beat right here.
Come back soon. Yeah. You know you want to. Come back soon. You want to.
It's like got chills. They're multiplying.
You'd play it in conjunction with that one that's all like, woo, yeah, yeah woo, mm-hmm. yeah, woo.
What are you talking about? That one.
It goes, woo. I can't even do it. You know that beat where they go, woo.
What?
Yeah.
What, could you?
Woo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who are we talking
about? I feel like I know what you're talking about.
I feel it.
Yeah.
Is this some sort of a 1970s?
It's like some dance. No, it's like some dance thing.
Like disco.
Ooh.
Tequila.
Yeah. Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I know what you're talking about.
You can't do it if you talk over me.
All right. Okay.
Ooh. Yeah. Ooh. Yeah. Ooh.
It takes two to make a thing go right. That's the song you're singing.
Ooh.
It takes two to make it out of sight. Isn't that what you're singing?
I'm not sure.
I think that's what you're singing.
I think I am too. But all right. But you keep interrupting.
No, but I mean, I was contributing, okay. I thought, because you weren't saying the lyrics.
That's because I was jamming.
Yeah, but anyway.
But you're right. No, you're right. You're right. I'm sorry.
Yeah. And when I'm right, I'm right. And me, I'm always right.
Sometimes I get
your
a little...
Your finger snaps were hypnotizing.
Sometimes I get a little sensitive when I'm doing something and then someone else starts talking. I start to get anxiety.
It's like we're trying to silence
you. And I'm trying to like keep my energy level from getting too amped up. And I know, I realize that I get amped up when I feel the anxiety, and the anxiety comes when I feel like I can't finish what I'm saying.
I posit the anxiety is already there and it's triggered.
Okay.
And which is a nuanced difference.
Same
I think to help, you know, alleviate the problem, that's a more, maybe a helpful frame if it's correct.
Oh, well, there we go.
Okay.
Yep.
But yes,
exactly.
Yeah, there were a lot of fucking sounds in this episode.
I think we all have a lot to look forward to.
Good point.
So
that's encouraging.
Let's swiftly get to the discussion. We'll dispose of the very brief front matter we have. This is episode 351 of the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
No way.
Yeah, way.
Oh, thank you.
And the episode title is Star Trek Strange New Worlds, Season 4, Episode 3, Lower Decks.
But...
Okay, buddy.
I'm sorry, I got the title
wrong. Wait, there was...
the title was, in fact, Human Best Friend.
I've never had what humans call a human best friend.
Show me what you got!
Very Lower Decks, yes.
Yeah. And there's a reason for that, we'll get into.
Well, there was... This is what it was. It reminded me of the Lower Decks because they were talking about beta and gamma and alpha shift.
Yeah.
And there was an episode of Lower Decks where it was, what was the stupid people shift? Was that the delta shift?
It was the beta shift.
Well, you know, I can't quite remember. Well, nobody was stupid. The joke on Lower Decks was that all the people were capable.
No, I know, it was like we're the cool ship, asshole other ship. Like they're the stupid ones.
Yeah,
I think they were the Delta ones or something.
I can't
remember. I know that's the only thing that reminded me of Lower Decks is because they were talking about the different shifts.
That's not the only thing I can imagine that reminded you of Lower Decks.
There's a couple. I think I can't think of anything else that really reminded me. What reminded you of the Lower Decks?
Well, how about this? We'll get into all that.
Oh.
There has to be an explanation.
Dan looks super eager to get started. He's obviously got some very interesting things to talk about here.
I'm just following the clues, okay?
I apologize if that sounded sarcastic. It was not. I meant that sincerely.
He's got things he'll
But
want
I do
to
recognize, listening back, editing the podcast, I know that I can sound sometimes accidentally sarcastic or aloof when I don't intend to be. I'm trying to tamp down my excitement so that I don't get too amped up.
You don't want to make too many excuses.
Don't want to talk too fast. You know, like when you're giving a speech or doing an audition and they always say, slow down. you don't need to talk so fast. So that's what we're doing here.
They said, we've heard
Do you need a hug?
I mean,
you seem pretty normal.
Well, then my facade is working.
What, did you do that on purpose?
But
are you drunk?
Before we get into the discussion, which will be almost immediately, we just have one, these are our messages this week.
One of them?
One, these are our messages.
You got Spock's message.
Oh, okay.
These are our messages.
Thank you. All right. There we go.
There's a couple other things I want to address.
No, we're going to address all of that. I just wanted to get this out of the way. And then the rest of the episode, other than where the hell have I heard that before, is going to be all about Lower Decks. I mean, sorry. Strange New World.
Sabotage.
That was not on purpose. Sabotage. That was not a clever joke. That was actually an accidental Freudian slip.
Chief O'Brien!
But yeah, let's do the email first, and then we'll be able to focus 100% on this
We'll try
episode.
Anyway.
We will try our best. And this message is from Isaac.
Oh, good.
And it is in reference to what has now been an ongoing conversation over the past few weeks about the Beatles and
the Beatles.
The White Album.
That is actually one thing I wanted. Oh, that's right. One of the things I wanted to go over
so
today.
Let me read the email, and then I think it'll give you an opportunity to respond.
Kill two birds with one beetle.
All right.
Comment.
Beetle
comment.
Isn't there there's more beetles in it, more species of beetles than anything, right?
That's right.
I think there's millions of species of beetles.
How many of them make houses out of shit?
There's dung beetles, but they make houses. They make balls.
I didn't say dung beetles.
I know. I'm trying to think of if there's any. Anyway, this is not It's Got Beetles.
I'm not joking, Lee.
And it's not It's Got the Beetles.
This is irrelevant.
That is accurate, Captain Sisko. So, Isaac is continuing this discussion we had last week. The issue was that Isaac indicated that he was not a fan of the song Maxwell's Silver Hammer. Had some discussion about that briefly. And so
Maxwell's Silver Hammer.
Isaac responds to say, dear Patty, Danny, and Jesse Essie.
Hi.
Paul McCartney. Do I hate him? No. Dude is a legend. Blackbird is my favorite song ever.
Oh, word. That's good.
I saw him in Melbourne a few years ago, and he said, quote, "You guys at the back look like you're in Tasmania."
Nightbird. Nightbird.
And I fucking lost it. And that is, of course, because Isaac lives in Tasmania. If you want to meet Isaac and you happen to be in Tasmania, just go out into the streets of Hobart and kind of shout Isaac a little bit. And
It's a town.
Will emerge and they will...
Deal.
It'll either be Isaac or somebody will be able to guide you to Isaac.
Say, oh, yeah.
He's basically like Santa Claus.
Over there.
Right?
Okay, buddy.
Okay.
Anyway, Isaac goes on to say, anyway, he played Obla-Di-Obla-Da that night because it's a banger. He didn't play Maxwell's Silver Hammer because he knows no dingus worth his Beatles chops wants to hear it because it's dreadful.
Oh, man.
If I wrote Maxwell, though, I'd be proud of it. But McCartney has written 99 better songs, and comparatively, Maxwell is a wiener. Hi, Emmanuel, our other Australian listener.
Wow. That's
from Isaac. So Isaac is laying down the gauntlet or whatever they use down south. Southern Hemisphere.
I think that's fair enough.
Because I think Dan has a prepared response that is probably going to be attenuated. Well, not attenuated, the opposite. You know, now that you've heard what Isaac says.
It's more of a response to everyone involved. Because last week I got sort of off kilter because I was giving my sort of explanation for Obla-Di versus Maxwell Silver Hammer. And I was interrupted during my argument because I started...
You don't say.
I know you did that on purpose. Look, and I know the goal was to irritate me, and it worked. So
you're right to be
job.
Irritated, Dan, but it was the also very was good timing.
So I brought up Paul McCartney because Paul McCartney did the Maxwell Silver Hammer, and then I compared it to Obla-Di. And then Jesse made a comment. It was like, well, he never said it. He didn't like Paul McCartney. I wasn't done with my argument yet. And so I kept going. And then Patrick was like, oh, I want to, let me interrupt you, Dan, before you go on. I want to cut this off at the pass. He never said anything about, and it turned into this whole discussion about like Paul McCartney.
Right.
And because you guys kept like, interrupting me, stopping me in my tracks, I got frazzled and I forgot what my argument was. Because I realized, listening back, my argument wasn't that it was a Paul McCartney song. That was just connective tissue. I was just saying, like,
cartilage.
Yeah. The argument was that Isaac said that Maxwell Silver Hammer would be insulting to be on the White Album. And my argument was, what about Obladi Oblada? That is clearly more insulting to the White Album, so it already has that crown. That's what I was saying. And maybe I confused it a little because my thesis began with a statement about Paul McCartney, but my argument wasn't, oh, well, it wasn't about like Paul McCartney writing good or bad songs. I'm just saying, like, it was a way to, because it's easier to compare two Paul McCartney songs than it is to like a Paul McCartney and a Lennon song. It's more apples to apples. You know what I'm saying? So when you guys kept interrupting me, like before I got to finish like my argument, I like got completely confused, and you guys somehow like, and I'm not, you didn't put thoughts in my head, but when you did that, my mind started thinking that the argument was that like
Yeah.
Isaac doesn't like Paul McCartney, which is something I never meant to assert.
I feel really
No, it's okay.
Don't worry, Dan. Jesse does not, in fact, feel bad.
No, I
just want to set the record.
It's like a polite thing.
I just want to set the record straight that my argument was that Obladi Oblada is clearly a worse song than Maxwell Silver Hammer, and that's already on the White Album. So adding Maxwell Silver Hammer will not make the White Album worse. It will only make it better. And if you take Obladi Oblada off and replace it with Maxwell Silver Hammer, then you're golden.
All right.
Good. I don't understand where he's getting this nonsense about Maxwell Silver Hammer being a bad song. Like, I talked about it last week, the musical interludes when it goes
he doesn't like.
Well, the musical interludes when it goes like. Like, that's amazing. Yeah.
I mean, it could be, just to play devil's advocate, that he just might be arguing from a position of subjectivity rather than objectivity when it comes to the quality of a song.
Well, there's no such thing as an argument of opinion that is objective.
Yes.
So, I don't know. I don't know what your point is.
No point. Just calling it out.
I'm just saying, yes. In the end, these are subjective. I'm not saying that, like, there is a universal truth that
I do believe about a minute ago you said Maxwell Silver Hammer is demonstrably better or definitively better.
Are the words you use when you already have set forth the construct that we're talking in terms of opinion, all right? I don't have to keep reminding the audience that it is my opinion. We have established that at the beginning of the discussion.
Good point.
Good point.
I'm at a loss in part because I still haven't listened to Maxwell Silverhammer, and I've listened to all Beatles. I know the song, but it's been leaked out of my brain somehow.
And there's all sorts of crazy sound effects in the song. It's a great song.
I mean, there's so much to talk about that kind of stuff that's really beyond the scope of this podcast.
Yeah.
I'm at a loss because, you know.
Maybe we'll do an It's Got It's Got the Beatles.
We should talk about that. Yeah.
Promises were made.
If we do It's Got the Beatles, it has to be It's Got the Beatles and It's Got Beatles. We have to somehow do segments where we do one segment on the Beatles and one segment on just Beatles.
Yeah.
Indeed.
Because, you know, there's so many.
Yeah. A lot of Beatles out there.
Yep.
Excellent. I don't know if we've resolved things there, but thank you, Isaac.
We cleared up what the point of my argument was.
Dan has given his opportunity.
So this is like why we might want to hear someone give their full argument before trying to make a judgment. Because if you have judged someone halfway through their argument when you think you understand your point, you might be right, but that beginning point might have just been a lead-in to their real point.
Yeah. You're correct, Dan. It is, of course, true that there could be scenarios where we might fear your argument being better, and therefore, and we just don't like that conclusion. And
what should we do?
So throwing you off is the way to go. It's like the Gish Gallop, you know, the fellow who always talked about creationism, who just said so many crazy things that, like, academics would try to, like, respond in detail to each thing, and they just get lost in their argument.
I'm confused.
This guy's like, look at this scientist. He's so confused. And the scientist is like, I don't know what just happened.
What is this?
Gish Gallop, he's dead.
The other quick thing is we We didn't never did our duty or no duties last week. Oh,
really?
And there were duty or no duties.
There were two of them.
Oh shit!
Perhaps we.
Can we do them now?
Is that a front?
We
man?
Had an opportunity.
Is that a middle matter?
This is from the episode that was titled Event. It was Event Horizon.
Yes, Event Horizon.
Strange New Worlds.
Chief O'Brien.
Episode 2, Event Horizon.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Duty or no duties? I think the audience, if you're not familiar with this, you will rapidly figure it out.
You'll catch on.
If you don't, well,
duty, not duty. It's duty or no duty, yeah. One of Dan's most famous
do your duty
audio games. Okay, Dan,
take it away. sorry, they were out of order. Okay, let's go.
Erratic.
Violent outbursts, self-harm, delusions. She reported each to her superiors and medical. Everyone was thoroughly examined, but medically cleared for duty. Medically cleared for duty. Duty. Medically cleared for duty.
Jesse says no duty. I'm going to say a no duty as well.
Yeah.
It's very crisp tea. She's British.
Yeah. I have to admit that it is no duty.
It's crisp,
there's no duty
crisp
there.
Crisp tea.
No
crisp
duty
tea,
there at all.
Baby.
All right. All right. No,
second.
No duty. Duty or no duty. Number two. No jump. No pun intended. Sorry. I know you played this. I'm sorry, Dan. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I apologize. That's on me.
He's hammering
but I
it
just,
up.
I made myself laugh with the inadvertent pun. Okay.
It's fine.
Okay. I apologize.
It's okay.
All right.
Our first personal log. Stardate. I don't know. The days are beginning to bleed together. Captain Taggart and Dr. Gahar relieve me of duty. Confine me to quarters. No one believes me. But something is wrong with this ship. Something is taking over the crew.
Where the fuck is that clip so disgusting?
I don't know.
Yeah, what is?
Oh, it was a glitchy. It was a glitchy computer.
Yeah,
screen.
But the glitchy computer sounded like diarrhea.
Yeah, it kind of did.
Can you play that again? Did you erase that beginning part?
Glitch.
Okay, hold on.
Just the beginning part.
Okay, hold on. Okay. Here we go.
Like even that, like
Harper's personal log.
Yeah, that does sound like diarrhea.
It sounds like somebody played the brown note, like that deep, because like it starts with that boom, and then it's all like.
I don't get it.
I know, right?
Okay, all right. Shorter version.
Shorter version.
Leave me of duty. Leave me of duty. Confine me to quarters. Yes. Confine me to quarters. Duty. 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 Duty.
Some Max Headroom action in there.
I hear a T.
Confine me to quarters.
Wait.
Do you have the Starfleet Academy wibbity whoop whoop sound? It would fit well with that.
Oh.
Wubble up a dumb.
Leave me of duty. Confine me to quarters.
It's a little loud. Okay, wait. Go ahead.
Leave me of duty. Confine me to quarters. Duty. 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 Leave me of duty. Confine me to quarters. Leave me of duty.
Right.
Confine me to quarters.
Jesse, you're up.
He said no duty.
Oh, he did already.
Right. Yeah, I hear a crisp.
It just sounded like
another crisp tea.
He looked like he was.
Or at least a T. Not quite as crisp as the other T, but I think it's still a no duty.
I'm gonna split the vote here because
no duty
on my end. I think that's a.
No
I think it's
duty,
a duty.
No duty, no duty.
Patrick says duty.
This really? Is rare. Word. Usually Jesse and I are in relative agreement here, and Dan almost always wants it to be duty.
Brother
in fact,
Dan.
When Dan doesn't think it's duty.
I'm disappointed.
He's disappointed, but that's why you know he's an honorable person, because in the previous clip, he reluctantly but affirmatively agreed that was clearly a duty.
Reluctantly.
A no duty.
Was it reluctantly gathered at the starting whatever?
Yes, that's exactly how it goes.
Reluctantly gathered at the starting line. I can't remember the words.
No, you got it perfect.
Armpits pacing and stacing in time.
And stacing in time, that's right. Yeah.
He's going the distance.
I was
going
to say, like, you're going to keep going. Like, he's going for pee.
He's going to pee.
All right.
Oh, wait.
For me, I think that's a duty.
Okay.
I'm not even on the borderline. I think it's a, for me, it's, wow. Ears are funny. Ears are funny, Jesse.
Ears are funny.
Yes.
Okay.
Ears are funny.
Everybody's different.
I'm going to play it one more time and then I'll say.
Duty.
That's a duty.
Yeah, I think I get where Jesse's coming from, but
I don't.
It still leans on the side. It still leans for me on the duty side.
We have no choice.
Well,
Okay, all right. So
every dog has his day, baby.
Thank you so much, Dan, because I always get annoyed when we forget that because it's one of my favorite things.
Yeah, I know. It's really the.
But
indeed,
are there any? This is a good chance to ask. Good time to ask, Dan. Are there any for this week's episode? For the Lower Decks episode, are there any duty or no duties?
Yeah, there's one.
Okay. The audience didn't see your cute little dance.
What?
Did a little wiggly dance. Okay, something to look forward to. as we discuss this episode. But I wanted to start.
But first, let's discuss this episode.
Exactly. To go back a little bit to, you know, Dan had mentioned earlier that sort of one thing reminded him of Lower Decks. I thought this entire episode was essentially a Lower Decks script.
You guys.
It was directed like Lower Decks.
I don't see that at all.
Because it was like a...
I mean, it was goofy.
It was like two zany characters having an adventure. Like
also, the stuff happening in the background.
Yeah, lots of background.
The La'an thing was straight... That was like a Mariner scene.
Disrupted timeline.
I feel like Lower Decks plots were more cohesive than this. This was just kind of let's find an excuse to like see what this character's up to in this zany world of drug overdose land.
I don't disagree with that.
And he even got to Chapel at the. It's like they didn't even know like how to incorporate Chapel into it. So suddenly she riots at the bingo room with Were those Nemesis vampires?
Were they vampires?
They were the Nemesis.
You mean Reemans?
Yeah, Reemans. The Nemesis.
You know what? I was trying to figure out what they were. They could have been. Maybe they were Reemans. But we didn't know about Romulans and Reemans at this time.
Well, it doesn't. So. I mean. Yeah, but I don't know what
just
else it could
you
be.
Didn't know about
but like there
I
was,
guess they had heard of because Romulans because one of those songs that Una sings, the Klingon ballads, one of them is called like Romulan something. They all have parody names of the Earth.
The
song.
Klingons know about the Romulans.
That was Klingon. She was singing. I think
she was singing Klingon. All those songs were Klingon power ballads, but they were all somebody translated the list of song names, and they're all parody names, and I unfortunately can't remember. If you go to Memory Alpha or someplace or Reddit, I'm sure you'll find a list.
Oh, that's cool, man.
And of course, that's a callback to the Q&A short trek with Una and Spock, where Una reveals to Spock a secret that she has held that she loves show tunes. At that time, she sung, I'm the very model of a modern major general.
That's right.
From the Pirates of Penzance.
Nice.
All right.
Nice. But I was going to say,
I'm just sort of laying out. We know our Star Trek. We are geeky
at
people.
At the beginning, like they were showing, like how all the different crew members were stressed out in their own way, and it made sense for everyone except Chapel. At the beginning, like smashes her glass and breaks it.
Yeah.
We don't really know why she's so upset, stressed out. And in fact, at the very and everyone had their reason for doing their thing throughout the episode. But then Chapel freaks out and riots in the bingo room, and it's like they didn't really know what to ascribe to her to make
and
her stressed
out. And in the beginning,
out.
They're like, whatever's going on with the chapel.
Because it was just like no reason. That scene at the end, there was no reason for that riot. Yeah.
Look, I agree with you that they didn't provide any in-episode explanation, whereas they really kind of did with most of the other people, either in-episode or in the lead-up.
I mean,
I have not finished my point.
But
I'm just putting my foot down that I have not finished my point.
But I heard you.
You just said, you gave us a whole lecture about like you can't judge a person's point until they finish their point.
I know, but I
prefaced my point with some background information that is important to make the point I'm making.
When I was giving my point just then, I heard you interrupting me. You kept going like, you kept trying to jump in.
I waited very carefully.
I heard you go, I heard you go,
that's not jumping in. That's me barely stifling jumping in, but I'm still doing the work. I'm making the efforts. I'm doing all the steps. It's not a 12-step program. It's a 1-step program, which is just try not to interrupt.
Step right in.
Fair enough. Go ahead.
So the point I was trying to make is that I agree that unlike the other characters, that either specifically in the episode itself or in the previously on, they even went back to season one Uhura to explain some of her stuff.
Boom.
But Chapel, we can assume, I just took it, I assumed that this was, we were supposed to remember that she's still fucked up from the Roger Corby stuff, all the stuff last season, but it was weird that they didn't like provide any like explanation about that. I
agree. Nobody seemed to understand. It was like, whatever's going on with her.
So are we supposed to go under the assumption that they've been, because they were talking about how they've been on missions like nonstop. Yeah. Is this since the first season they've supposed
to? No, this has been since they've mentioned this in every episode. The two previous episodes have also mentioned that the crew has been like working hard. And remember in that first episode, the premiere of season four, Pike was all like, Una was even complaining to Pike that he was pushing the crew too hard because he wanted to distract himself from his dead whatever.
So how are we supposed, like when was the Corby stuff? What season was that in?
The previous season.
Yeah.
The Roger Corby.
See, I think it's a kind of a stretch to get us to associate her bad mood with something that happened last season.
Agree.
Without,
unless they put it in there.
I'm not done. All right.
All right.
without some kind of primer.
I agree.
See, that's all I had to say. Yes. Primer. And that was an important part of that, exactly. That argument.
You see how much more said. We've got from that exactly. since we let him finish?
So, thank you, Jesse.
Yeah.
Baby. Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you.
I wonder what psychologists make of our show.
Psychologists?
So we're going to take a break in a second, but I did want to just
like all of
sort
us.
Of close the loop on this Lower Decks thing, because I do think it's important to note that this episode was written by Catherine Lynn, who was a writer and producer on Lower Decks. She worked on Lower Decks. She was originally hired in season one as a quote-unquote canon lore master kind of person, but very quickly got involved in producing and writing. She only wrote one episode with her own credit, although she worked on writing a lot of episodes. The episode she wrote was Wage Douge, which is like one of the classic episodes. She also wrote Strange New Worlds, Charades, and Those Old Scientists.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool, man.
Sorry, I didn't mean to break up the momentum.
That's all right.
I forgot that one is not so good.
She also wrote, she also wrote This is Starfleet, which I hated that episode. I thought it was like a bad episode. Yeah. I'm like, going to assume that, I think I got the impression when we discussed that episode last season that I think that episode just sort of like got away from them. It was short. It was weirdly edited. I think so I'm not gonna pin that on her.
I didn't hate that episode as much as you did, Patrick. But I was like Luke. I didn't really have a great time with it.
I didn't like the story didn't make sense. The production was weird, and the moral, which I don't know, it just doesn't seem to fit with other stuff that Catherine Lynn has written. But
absurd.
The moral seemed to be all like very jingoistic and like just don't worry about it. Just follow the government, no matter what they say. But anyway,
that is. So not my vibe right now.
Yeah. That's, I mean, that there's Lower Decks and Strange New Worlds bona fides that Catherine Lynn has. And she played the Vulcan bingo caller. It was a sort of self cameo, which I thought she did a great job in. And other lore is that Catherine Lynn had created her own Vulcan cosplay character that went by the name of, can you guess?
Zimzow.
Talin.
Oh.
And then the character of Talin on Lower Decks was given the name, like the Catherine Lynn's cosplay character pre-existed.
Oh, yeah.
The Talin character Lower Decks.
She just riffed off of her name.
I'll add that to my list of things to figure out.
One of the best characters ever. And also note that this episode was directed by Yana Gorskaya.
Hey.
She directed a lot of episodes. She was actually an executive producer and directed like 22 episodes of What We Do in the Shadows.
Oh, shit.
Wonder what that's all about.
Among many other things. She's worked in
Nightmare.
Marvel, a lot of New Zealand stuff.
That's good.
So, yeah, there's like, you know, just to start with, good comedy chops, good Lower Decks related stuff. So, you know, there you go. Make of it what you will.
No.
Okay. How about this, Dan? I'm going to let you get ready with your little finger there, because we are going to we're going to go on a break in a second. I'll say the magic words. Jesse, are you ready for a break?
Yes.
Okay, Dan, are you
magic
ready for
voice.
Are you ready for shore leave?
They stole my eyeballs. My eyeballs are still here.
Yeah, when we get back, one of the things I'll talk about is how I think that was the best tied to a chair gag I've ever seen.
Yeah, that is a total gag.
All right, we'll talk about that when we
got hit in the balls.
When we return, we will be right back.
You stay here, or not, or do whatever you're gonna do.
I mean, at some point I'll leave to go back to my ship.
Hallucination, be gone.
Beep, boop, boop, boop. And we're back.
Should we order some fries?
Fries.
Go on.
Bring it in.
The music was fun.
You think they do sweet potato fries or just like regular potato fries?
No, they're advanced peoples. They got
blame them for things, regular. Try to bring them down a peg.
I'm going to say this, noting that I'm somebody who likes sweet potato fries, but I do think in the future they've gotten rid of racism, sexism, and sweet potato fries.
I'm not a big fan of sweet potato
fries. Most people aren't.
I think the explanation is that you really...
Okay. The thing about sweet potato fries... don't worry. I'm not going to linger long on this. Linger longer.
He's up to a second.
I like sweet potato fries. I don't like them better than regular fries.
It's just different.
Like
it's a different experience.
I might prefer it to like a steak fry. You know those big thick fries, which I'm not against. I just find a lot of places don't make them well. You know what I'm saying?
Oh yeah, that's true. Yeah,
Nobody knows how to.
It's a hard thing to cook.
A little
Tom, avocado bad. Tell Captain.
Yeah.
Okay, let's get back to our good old discussion of.
Luckily, I had a head for engineering.
Drugged engineering. Out people. Look.
Dendru. No matter what, keep us away from our shuttle. Tie us up if you have to.
Luckily, I had a head for engineering.
Dave Foley. Good time to mention Dave Foley.
Dave Foley.
Do you recall, Dave? This is not Dave Foley's first time on Star Trek.
Oh. Come on.
Right. Yeah, he was on.
You have any guesses? Anything? I know it's hard. I didn't immediately remember.
No, I know there's something I just can't
remember. I'm just following the clues, okay?
I can't claim to have remembered. I did read it online. So I'm not trying to lord it over you as if I know. He was on Lower Decks. He voiced a character on Lower Decks. And that character was Parth. I believe it was Parth in Parth Ferengi's, Parth Ferengi's Dark Place or whatever. I just remember it was Parth Ferengi's Heart Place, which when I saw that title in the fourth season of Lower Decks? I was so delighted because it's a Garth Marenghi's Dark Place joke.
Yeah. And is that a joke?
That's a super obscure, that's like, those people know funny, or at least, you know. Deep cuts.
Funny for a few people.
Look up.
You gotta be kidding.
Look up Garth Marenghi's Dark Place. I think it's all available on YouTube. It's just six episodes. But yes, very cool. But yes, Dave Foley did a voice on Lower Decks, played a Ferengi, and now he's playing again one of my favorite Star Trek characters. Like, look, I know it's recency bias. Who knows if it'll last. But as soon as he came on screen, I was like, okay, I'm enjoying the vibe of this. Because at first, they're all like, okay, we're stressed out. Okay, we're going to go to this, like, drunk acid planet or something, and your brain is still wrestling. Like would this be a reasonable thing for Starfleet crew to go to? It's like, oh yeah, you just go here.
Yeah.
You fucking
it's on the way. We'll just stop.
You lose your shit and get high. I mean, I'm cool with that. I'm excited. I just again, I'm not 100% sure if that's like the best thing to do.
What do you think?
Because that's exactly what happened.
When they show his feet.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
What do you think about that? He's got like just a couple of toes.
My partner really enjoyed that.
Here.
I'm sure.
Don't you feel so much better?
The episode proves that you shouldn't go to the acid planet because it's going to cause you problems.
Okay. If you don't have anything else to do, if you're on your way to another mission, avoid it.
Yes.
Okay. First of all,
is it like? Is it cool for Starfleet officers to be like going to a tripping planet? Like, is that?
I think so.
But that's my question. I don't think there's a problem in principle. It's the context. It's like Jesse said. Like they have like everyone's explained to them. They're like, we're all stressed out, but this is serious. This is life and death. These people are super like sticklers, just like the Enterprise Cretacean people. They're all like hardcore. We got to get this exactly right. Or like those Picard people that he had to talk to. And then they're like, you know what? They do need a break. Let's fucking get just shit-faced.
So they get shit-faced, and it seems weird, sketchy that even though they're supposedly okay. First of all, they go to the planet. They're tripping balls, right? It's supposed to all go away after they leave the planet, but of course it doesn't. So that's kind of a lie. Hangover, yeah. The other thing that they find out when they go to the planet is it's supposed to be a de-stress. What was the word he used? He said it was a.
Or you can call me your new best friend. On your personal journey to De-Stress Station.
Yes, De-Stress Station.
And so
sounds like defenestration.
That's what they go to. But then what we find out is it's not about de-stressing. It's not about relaxing and having a good time. It's about going on some personal journey. Yeah. Which is different than de-stressing. Yeah. Personal journeys are good, but personal journeys are often not like... are not void of stress. The personal journeys, good personal journeys where you learn stuff often involve a lot of stress and consternation, and that's not what this planet was advertised as.
Right.
So first of all, they go to this planet with the idea they're just going to have a relaxing time. No, because he specifically put Ortegas and Scotty together on some hard struggle journey so they could, in the end it was good for them, but it wasn't what was advertised.
Yeah.
Second of all, the shit didn't go away when they left the planet. Third of all, they can do shit like get tattoos which don't fucking go away. Yeah. Right?
And if you, if you go to a tattoo place and you're inebriated, they don't.
But on this planet, everyone's inebriated. Yeah. Even the tattoo artist.
All the time.
But right? Still, the tattoo artist would be too.
That's not a proper tattoo place.
And I was curious what he meant when
I don't know what the policies are on this planet, but this is highly irregular.
And then when he was talking about how it was all very legally binding.
Yes, the whole micro print and the small print. And
The fine print and the micro print.
He goes,
really, it's all quite legally binding.
Now, is it legally binding according... What does that mean when you go to a different planet? I'm guessing that means legally binding according to Federation rules the planet? What does legally binding mean?
We don't have enough information, but generally, if they're following the same... policies we do on Earth, you would
it's a liability.
It would go, you'd go with the local planet,
right?
Law.
So
normally
it's
you assume whatever the local planet.
So that's another
was.
Thing is like going, never trust what's legally binding on a planet
a
that
local
you're that,
planet with like I'm you just know, a, yes.
Never trust what's advertised as legally binding from a planet that you're not from, because that could be fucking anything.
This goes into my slowly building argument that Captain Pike is a fun captain, not necessarily a great captain. I mentioned that a little bit last week.
He's a face tattoo.
Like I said, the structure of this episode was kind of like, okay, we'll go to this person, some wackiness will happen. Now we'll bounce from that person, will lead us to this person. It was just kind of like we're going on a tour to different characters. We're going on a tour to different characters to see how they behave in this planet. And it's all in the name of like, first it's get the letter to Pike, and then it's get to the ship, and then it's get to back. And it's all just sort of like, now we go to this person, now we go to this person. And like I said, there was a reason to get to everyone except Chapel. There was zero reason to go. It's like, oh, by the way, Chapel's freaking out over there.
I don't disagree with you on the incorporation of Chapel necessarily, but I really love the structure of this episode because it, again, sort of like last week's episode that lots of people were divided on as well because of all the body horror. For me, what made that last week's episode really worth it was because they utilized that structure to really do some real character development, character advancement. And I think this episode did a little of that too, in ways that I'm happy that they didn't go in the direction I was worried about in terms of, cause you know, Dan, I think you might've mentioned the idea of maybe they were trying to get like, Ortegas and Scotty, dating.
Yeah.
And I guess that's still possible. I don't like that idea. And this idea of them just actually becoming friends and confidants, that's a much cooler idea.
I think most people are not down with it.
And of course, you know, they put it up like, well, I wanted to be an engineer, but I couldn't cut it. So now I'm a pilot. Well, I want to be a pilot. So now I'm an engineer.
Learn
and
about
then
the characters.
And we find out like that there was a reason for them, for the alarms. The alarms were there. It was making her feel insecure. Yeah. That's why it was all that. Yeah.
Which is great. It's closing that. But can I make a real quick point, just jumping off of an earlier thing where, you were talking about, what were you talking about? Something about.
Yes.
You know, God, now I can't recall.
Going to different characters.
Balls on chain.
Nah, it's all right. I'll think about it later.
You'll think about it later.
Yeah. And then I'll interrupt you.
no problem.
So wait.
I think the body horror thing that I wasn't too into this week is when Scotty's thumb got blown off at the end. I thought that was completely unnecessary.
I thought it was great.
There was no need for that slapstick. I just thought it was. I just thought it was unnecessary.
It was a great little.
Body horror is fine, but like last episode, there was a reason for it. There was no reason. It was a gag. It was just a fucking gag.
That's precisely why I enjoyed it, because it was unnecessary and as a result, surprising.
I could have done without.
Yeah, it was totally a surprise.
Look, I get it, and I am very sensitive to the fact that there are many people, and by the way, I'm that person sometimes who do not enjoy that, and particularly don't enjoy it if it's a surprise.
So I
respect that.
I want to be clear about something. It's not that I was grossed out.
No, I'm making the point that I know other people I get it.
I just want to be, I want the audience to be clear that it's not an issue of me being squeamish or grossed out or being like, oh, I don't want to see that kind of thing. I just thought it was kind of excessive. It was too slapsticky for me.
I hear you.
By the way, I don't agree with you that it was definitely slapsticky and excessive. The difference between us is like, I liked that it was excessive and slapsticky.
No, it was perfect.
But that's, I fully totally understand where not just you, Dan, a lot of other people have commented that, you know, some parts of the episode they thought were a little silly. I totally get it.
I will say this sort of character, Lon's character has been like going more and more off the deep end as time goes on. She's getting more and more intense. What I enjoyed about this
I remember my point.
Okay, well, go for it.
The point. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
It is a brief point, but you know, earlier we were talking about, Dan, you were talking about the difference between a fun, the advertised fun time versus the going on a personal journey of discovery, and how,
yes,
how one is just all about fun and one is just like not necessarily only fun, can be, but not only.
Entirely.
And to me, it's the unstated premise here is that this is not a weed or booze planet. This is an acid or shrooms planet.
Right. Yeah.
That's the difference.
Well, that's
and
the difference.
That's the not advertised difference is that you're going to go through some potentially serious shit if you're dealing with serious shit.
And so,
shit.
I mean, you can go on like a bad shroom or acid trip that doesn't, you can go on a bad shroom or acid trip, but that doesn't mean it wasn't productive.
Exactly. I was going to use that exact word, productive.
Yeah.
Psychologically helpful.
Right. And
saves you from suicide.
In fact, productive situations like that can be productive because you are forced to face some horrible shit.
That's the thing. Psychedelics will sometimes not let you, your brain will not let you ignore.
Yeah.
You'll be perceive an infinity where you keep telling yourself the same, like, quit being an asshole.
So maybe it was just the crew's assumptions. They had bad assumptions about this planet.
I mean, the marketing, you could tell them. The planet, they weren't able to change how the planet reacted, right? They're on a planet that makes you have acid trips. Okay, they're going to market it in as soft a way as possible to get the tourists to show up.
Wasn't in the brochure.
She was talking about it not being in the brochure. The gag I liked was this was a silly gag, but how they were going to meet Laan to like help get the thieves from the shuttle, and they were like, "Welcome to the relaxation seminar," and she's like, "Imbo Jitsu tournament to the death in the relaxation session."
She didn't say form team. She said form factions.
Yeah,
factions. Like as if she's going to go to war, not teach an exercise class.
It was called this is a relaxation class. It's a class on relaxation. Then she flips out. And what I liked about the thieving thing is like they thought they were just going to get Lon to intimidate these thieves, but instead of it, she intimidated them, but she actually ended up making a clan out of them, and she was their leader. And what that meant was is she couldn't simply have them give her the ship because she was now their mentor. She was their teacher and mentor, and she could not in good conscience make them do something that was weak. So it wasn't like, I'm going to intimidate you to give me your shit. It's like, no, now we're part of the same clan.
Right.
You can't just give me that shit because that's what a weak person would do. Yeah. So, Scotty, give me your shirt.
Scotty.
Because she's like now cares for them and shit. She's like their mentor.
Has some deep earth meaning.
Can we discuss that shirt? Because it seems like a shirt that existed like prior to Wardrobe. Like Wardrobe didn't construct that shirt. Like they found a shirt like
online
on like Amazon.
I was thinking. I was actually hoping that's the case because I kind of dig the shirt. Not in a merch sense. I just thought the Mugatu, the planets and stars. The vibe was a groovy vibe.
Actually, everything's peachy. Formal peachy.
Yes. Formal peach. All right, just to back up a little to the beginning. Okay, they go to this planet, they land there, they get all stone, and you know, comical hilarity, blah blah blah.
There was the part when they were counting down and it was turning into the weird cartoon shit. That was like. I don't know. That was out of context for Star Trek for me. Not saying that was good or bad, but seeing the weird trippy cartoons and when they were in like Spock's place, they were playing some trippy 70s sitar electric guitar, awesome. Sitar type music in the background. Like,
well, this was an opportunity to do that, and which is kind of one of the minor complaints people have had about Strange New Worlds, particularly the last season, where it's like, I thought the whole point of the show was that we were going to go to Strange New Worlds and get to see all this weird stuff going on. And this season has definitely leaned into that and taken advantage of that. We would, of course, be remiss if we didn't comment briefly on the fact that the whole brochure, video brochure, whatever you want to call it, used that TAS style animation.
Yeah.
Very good
effect. It was TAS style. I had that in my notes too.
They had, I don't remember the name of the creature. You know, Bem, the creature
that's in the brochure.
The three part creature. I always forget the name of that alien race, but it's in TAS.
You're not talking about Dendro. You're talking about a creature.
No, Bem in TAS.
Oh, right.
In Lower Decks, they had one, the same alien that splits into, it's a colony creature. It splits into three.
This is the Cessnar Grand.
You can see one of those creatures in that animation. You know, they have all, it's a very TAS done extremely well because that's the kind of thing, it's almost Uncanny Valley. If they didn't make it look exactly like TAS animation, it would look stupid. And they did a good job here, which
Pandronian?
Might be Pandronian.
Something like that.
Where the arms like disconnect and swim under the water and like untie, you know, Kirk and Spock.
I think it's pin.
I
think it's Pandronian.
That sounds right
to me.
So again, Catherine Lynn is known, was hired initially as a lore master.
Wait,
so she knows all the little things about Star Trek. And go online, Memory Alpha, Reddit, whatever. We are not the right show to do this, but there are so many Easter eggs, and not like the cheesy ones. They're just like that one, like having the Bem guy in the background, just very, very subtle little Easter eggs.
By the three-part person, are you talking the one where they literally like take the cells and separate them? So you just have like the leg cells floating around and the arm cells.
Yeah, where like the legs just walk away. And then
obviously just separate
the
parts.
That's how they escape when, because that guy joined, like in TAS, I forget the name of the episode, but when he's assigned to the Enterprise and he joins them on an away mission and he's just criticizing them the whole time. He's just like, humans are lame and you don't know what you're doing. Yeah. And then he ends up rescuing them because they get tied up and put in like a water cage or something. TAS is bizarre, but great.
Yeah.
People should definitely watch it. I think not enough people have, in my book.
Oh, the other thing I was going to mention, though, also is that why did they go on shore leave before this very important meeting?
Right.
That's kind of what I was referencing before, which was,
like, they've been going for 6 months. Why not wait just another week till after their shit was done?
I think more specifically, right, and look, we're not trying to be funny duddies. We know this is meant to be a fun episode or whatever, but look, we're a Star Trek podcast. That's part of the fun. And again, I'm pro getting fucked up on drugs in a professional environment. I'm happy they did that. It's probably not like the sensible thing to do, especially in this context, right, of all the, of what's going on. That doesn't mean you can't have like a short, you know, just take a week off, just on the ship. Just take a break, right? You don't have to go to shore leave necessarily, or, you know, find a little diner planet or something. It doesn't have to be like the get fucked up and stoned planet.
Right, right.
But
although in the end, okay, everyone did grow and learn and become, you know, whatever.
But a character didn't do this, but the premise of the show did this.
And they'll be here in approximately 2 hours.
We're not meeting them for 2 weeks.
2 hours?
Yeah.
More like 2 weeks.
Yeah, yeah.
The premise of the show did that. Yeah. It wasn't another, a character.
Another bugaboo of Dan's. Not just Dan's, by the way.
Just Dan, same number, different order of magnitude.
Again, they don't make it explicit in the episode, or not totally explicit. You kind of get the impression that when Pike was all fucked up, he just can't remember that he like reached out to them and was like, "Why don't you just come and join us?"
Yeah.
Because they reference at the end the aliens that come at the end. I forget what they're called. You know, they said like, "Oh, thanks for inviting us. You know, it was a great idea to do this early." Which of course is the classic sitcom gag of inviting the boss over for dinner, right? This is a variation oh shit, we got the scheduling wrong and the boss is coming over for dinner on a day where I'm all fucked up, or like my kids painted the house, or like my wife shat all over the dinner table because she's got problems, and like it's the 1950s and she's got untreated mental illness because she's trapped in a fucking man's world and her husband sucks.
Yeah, that was intense.
But those sitcoms were funny.
overlooking that. Yeah. We
clean up that shit and cook a turkey. Boss is coming over.
Did we find out why that was the schedule got changed? It wasn't from Dendru. It was like Pike did it or something.
Again, it's not explicit.
Yeah, it's not explicit.
But when they come, they reference the fact we're glad you invited us early.
That's what it was.
But you could be. I think it's Pike, but you could be whatever. But presumptually,
like it was Pike.
I think it's Pike because Pike was having a good time, getting all fucked up and tattooed and all that.
On the same line of like, you know, they should have done this after, not before. It was funny because, like, so you had both Uhura and Scotty were like, Uhura's like, well, I want to get this language just right, so I want to spend this time to study. And Scotty was like, well, I want to make sure the ship's all ready. And Ortega's was like, fuck it, let's go on vacation. But if you look at the vacation, everybody else is fucked up and having a great time. Ortega's is like having a shit time. Yeah. And like, she's the only one who has her wits about her the whole episode.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
I also didn't notice until the second watch through that when Pike was giving his speech, and I don't know why I didn't notice this, because they kind of threw it in your face, that his speech, he was reading off the tattoos on his fingers.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't notice that at all.
That's true.
That's fucking hilarious.
Because I thought he was just doing something funny with his fingers.
And I think he got, like, okay, he was getting, like, some kind of horse tattoo on his arm at first, and then he was like, oh, yeah, okay, right. I just remembered, like, I bumped up the meeting to today. And then he was like, and so like after he sent off like the guys to do the stuff, and he's like, I'm going to round you up later on or whatever, whatever the fuck.
Partners.
He got the idea to like get a tattoo like on his face.
Yes.
and on his hands. So he was like, because I have to make a speech like in 2 hours or whatever, like and less than 2 hours. Like, so
conflict is the infancy of progress.
He got that like in the meantime after they met with Pike, and he was like, okay, you guys do this and I'm going to round you up.
Can you play that clip real quick again?
Conflict is the infancy of progress.
So Jamie was listening to that like in the other room. She was like, "That's I like that. That's a good idea. That's good." And it was like, it's funny in the context. She's like, "Yeah, it's make a good point." And meanwhile, he's all like fucked up and like face tattoo in Klingon. And by the way, and again,
it's actually not a bad statement. It's a great
statement. I looked online and I didn't get all of them because I just think people haven't been able to translate all of them. But at least one of those face tattoos in Klingon on Pike's face says hair today, gorn tomorrow.
That's an Easter egg right there.
Yeah. I'm sure there are many more, just like with the Una's song and all that.
I mean, when the statement of conflict is the infancy of progress, like it's like a smart statement. It's just funny because in that situation, it sounds very much like you didn't prepare something.
It sounds kind of like George McFly going up to Lorraine, being like, "You are my density."
Right. Yeah.
I mean, my destiny.
Jettison the shell.
They said jettison again.
Jettison the shell.
Wait. Jettisoning.
Wait. Play the one from this week.
Jettison the shell. No, jettison the shell.
What's it? What is that? What are they saying?
What are they saying?
They're not saying jettisoning.
Yeah.
That can't be.
He's saying jettison the shuttle.
Oh. Can you play it again now that you've stated that?
Jettison the shell.
Okay.
Oh,
yeah,
baby.
Man, you're right.
Jettisoning. Jettisoning. Jettisoning.
Chess in the shell.
They can't say jettison correctly in these
it's
past.
It's probably going to be an important plot point for the season. In the season finale, you're going to find out that's the clue to where we know we're not in the main universe.
Yeah,
we're in like some weird.
It's the universe with the extra syllables.
And that's precisely why I added the alert system.
Alert!
Precisely why.
Alpha shift didn't.
Afterlife looks surprisingly like the Enterprise.
Mom used to say that hearts are infinite, so we should make use of that space.
So, and Dan, I get that you weren't like quite as into the actual plot of the episode, but for me, it was a fun mystery.
Oh yeah,
like what I know. There wasn't like groundbreaking, but it was just well acted, well produced. Even the scene where Ortegas wakes up and then like how it's revealed. First the room is there. You have the Tribble. You have that weird little alien monster creature sitting on the couch.
The feathers everywhere.
Then Ortegas wakes up. She's got an Andorian thing with one Andorian antenna cut off. And then she's looking around. You're like, what's going on? And then she reveals her broken arm or the cat in the arm. And so the
Mugatu,
which was obviously they were using the same outfit that was used in Starfleet Academy, which is kind of funny.
I was wondering where I recognized
that. Both used to really good effect in both cases.
And apparently those skinny, tall, like party cocktail cups are like, in every planet, like you know the kind where the skinny tall ones with the big tall stars. They had a bunch of those in the background.
Potato fries are gone, but those are forever.
There were some very clever parts. Like I thought it was clever. The broken arm that we find out later. Like she's like blaming Scotty for everything this whole time because that's because like she was always blamed Beto for stuff because she was insecure by him, and then Scotty always just took it because he was used to like getting. Yeah. Picked on and stuff, but like she was blaming him, and we're all set up like, and Scotty's acting like this drunken fool the whole time. Like when he like throws the tricorder off like the fucking head. So he's like, "Oops," but
that's the worst. It's like,
I liked when he was trying to just pull the dagger off into his fucking face.
And so like they're trying to figure out what happened to the ship, and then we find out the whole time. I mean, she does the thing where she hits the machine and it turns on, you just think it's like a tropey like thing, like you know, in Back to the Future when he punches the DeLorean and it comes to life, and like it's like a tropey thing in all shows and movies, just like, oh, it doesn't work, let's just punch it, it'll come back. And she did that, and so it seems like a trope that she's punching it back to life, but it actually happened because she had the duotronic processor chip or whatever, and so they did put the pieces together, and I did appreciate that there was kind of a puzzle that they revealed the way, but there was just a lot of chaos that like I was like kind of like, well, I was like, oh my god,
they like, there was a puzzle, but they like failed in solving
them.
That was the thing. They set it up for themselves and then they blew it,
which was, by the way, is believable. And that's mm-hmm. part of what I liked about how they constructed this plot, because of those little sinewy connections and the doodads and here and there, that even though individual components of the plot were obviously played for maximum humor and hilarity and ridiculousness, it nevertheless had sort of a believability to it, particularly like the whole Ortegas and Scotty, they don't like each other. And by the end of the episode, they learn to like each other. And it was done in a believable way where you're like, I have been given enough information and I've been following this little adventure so that we're both seeing the adventure now. We're seeing kind of recaps or whatever of what happened, but they're learning more about their previous adventure. And right. it all comes out in a believable sense that you're like, okay, I can now buy why they were angry with each other mm-hmm. and why they're friends.
Right.
Because that's not always the case. Sometimes they take some shortcuts.
But I think they got to be friends because they were all like fucked up.
Well, in part, well,
and,
she was,
and like so, all their inhibitions were lightened up.
Yeah,
and although, they got to be buddies, but then they forgot about it.
Then they forgot to be exactly.
And they woke up and they were like, "Wait, we hate each other."
But at the end, you know that they're buds because she finally takes his alarm seriously. Mm-hmm. Like his alarm goes off, and instead of cursing him, she's like, "Oh shit, sorry, dude."
She goes down. She does the honorable thing. She goes down and sees the work he has to do to keep the ship running.
And he doesn't
like wow.
And he doesn't like tell her to fuck off. He's just like, "Ah, yeah, it's cool."
I gotta leave this.
Well, specifically. Because she took the effort to be like, you know what? Maybe I should actually see what I'm doing when I'm, you know, pushing the ship this hard. Right. She goes down and sees it and like feels bad. Mm-hmm. But he also takes an action, which is like, by the way, I'm actually going to, he's reframing it into a way that works for him. He loves to fix things. He likes to improve things. He likes to improve efficiency. He wasn't looking at that before. He was looking at her as being obnoxious and annoying. And now he reframed it as, actually, no, she's giving me an opportunity. She's got all this talent. I have an opportunity to make the ship work better for her.
She's my friend now.
Right, like the problem before was, is he was trying to keep the ship like as it was. And this is one of those early examples of Scotty being like, oh no, I can actually, of course I should make the ship better to fly. Why not? And so he learned from her that there were certain things that he could, why not take that on as a problem? I really appreciated that.
Yeah.
Now, another thing I appreciate is being timely with our breaks.
It's
time for a break.
So we're going to take a break in a second. And when we come back, we'll have a little bit of a, where the hell have I heard
where
that before?
The hell?
And we're going to have a bunch more to discuss because there's plenty more. I'm sure there's plenty more sound clips. And then at some point, we'll probably just have Dan play all the sound clips because they're funny. And so we will be right back.
This has gone on long enough.
A pit stop sounds great to me.
And then I'll have everybody rounded up and ready to go, partner.
Bring back cookies.
Can't argue with that.
Long tail. And we're back.
This is a place to say no way to those icky parts of your daily life.
Uh-huh. Now it's an Ambo Jitsu tournament to the death.
That's the second time. Like, you guys got, or I don't know who it was, but when we were exiting to the break last time, someone started, like, repeating the quote that was playing while it was still playing.
Yeah, I think it was Jesse both times.
That sounds like my thing.
So yeah. Both times you talked over the intros and outros.
That's what I do.
Because he's a hype man.
That's not what you're supposed to do.
Well, you know, supposed to.
Hey.
This guy's got a case of the
Somebody's got a case of the
I think all right. The idea is that you hear the sounds play and you don't talk over the sounds.
Ideally, sir, yes. Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
I apologize.
That's okay. I just don't know why it's so difficult.
Next time.
Dan is an artist who works in a challenging environment, and that's part of... should be a point of pride.
Well, I provide the challenge.
I respect that you legitimately... absolutely have every right to be aggravated.
It's challenging to come up with things to say. I don't see how it's challenging to keep yourself from talking is the thing.
Well,
I'm not talking to you specifically. I'm saying just in general, how for one to keep from talking is what I should.
I'm not sure that you fully believe that.
I do believe it.
I think you intellectually believe it.
I know that if I'm supposed to be quiet, I stay quiet. It's not difficult. You just don't say things. You just don't get carried away.
Sometimes I'm good, and sometimes I'm bad.
It's an issue of getting carried away is what happens.
Exactly.
Did you learn that in Montessori school, Dan?
I don't know why you're bringing up Montessori school.
I've never been to no Montessori
in Montessori school.
I'm saying, Jesse, you and I have not been to Montessori.
It could be about that getting carried away.
Dan maybe had learned why some
did
proper.
Why did you think of Montessori school when I said about carried
because
away?
Because I was trying to identify a difference between Jesse and I and you that may have, because we all grew
are you
up
trying
very
to other, you're trying to other me.
No, I'm not trying to other you.
Yes, he is.
No, I'm really not. I'm really not. I respect how you might see it that way, but that's not my intention. My intention was sincerely to figure out, you know, we've all were raised in a similar way, similar area, yet perhaps because we, Jesse and I didn't go to Montessori school, we didn't learn to like stay quiet.
In Montessori school, you didn't do your work. You completed your requirements. Mm. That's what they were called. You had to complete your requirements.
Literally, I had a physical, yeah. a physical reaction.
And you had to use your right hand.
You know who else had a physical reaction?
Okay.
So the Redaxians when they were offended because the speech was so terrible, but then it was just so happened, lucky them, that the bomb that exploded perfectly mimicked the ancient Redaxian formal rite of peace that they hadn't seen in generations.
It was made of the same stuff.
All the right materials that were sacred to these Redaxians.
Now, Dan, you are eager and you got all sorts of cool stuff to say.
I just want to go on a journey real quick.
Yeah.
I was just going to say.
That's your journey.
Normally we come back in the third break. We do our where the hell have I heard that before? Get that out of the way. So then we can have the rest of the episode go on a proper journey. Because I don't want to interrupt because I'm sure there's components and timing and all sorts of stuff.
It's your journey.
It's relevant to that. So we'll be quick this week.
As we head through a fickle region of space, ships been needing round the clock maintenance.
We'll be quick this week.
Or you can call me your new best friend on your personal journey to De-Stress Station.
I've got to win my money back.
Some of those might be future. Where the hell have I heard that before? Clips. And where the hell have I heard
that? You'll die.
Where the hell have I heard that before? If you aren't familiar, for whatever reason, this is a game we've been playing, an audience interaction game.
Oh, no.
Audience engagement game, I suppose I should say, wherein we will play a clip from somewhere in the Star Trek franchise.
Uh-oh.
At first I was like, are you playing a sting from the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles?
I know, it does sound like that.
Uncalled for.
Yes, we will play a clip.
Cool but crude.
And then you have...
Yeah, that's bad.
You have, until Thursday or Friday or so to... guess what the clip is, what character is saying it, which show or movie or whatever.
Don't even think about
it. It's super fun. It's a super fun game, and we
it'll knock your socks off.
Well, that would be a tragedy.
People seem to have been enjoying it. I certainly have.
Yeah.
These clips, by the way,
great.
We come up with some of them. We also very much welcome and appreciate audience submissions of clips.
There was that one week.
It's fine, though. Everything's fine.
They did it all themselves.
Yes, that's right. Was that last week? I don't know.
Three weeks ago.
That was a while back. So anyway, where the hell have I heard that before? Very simple premise. And what I'll do first is I'm going to play last week's clip, and then we'll go over, let Jesse and Dan have a chance to guess, and we'll go over the audience guesses and see if anyone correctly guessed.
What should we do?
The clip. Well, you know, you'll understand.
I'm confused.
I know you're not confused, Dan. The last week's clip is coming up, and as soon as I'm confident that Dan's not going to play some other clip.
Okay, buddy.
All right. So what Dan does, the audience at home can't see this, what Dan does is when he's trying to placate me in this part of the show, he kind of, maybe he learned this at Montessori, he puts his hands like in his lap, like all like super prim and proper to, I think is an indication, a physical indication that he's not going to plan on playing any clips. The problem is he also is looking at me with like a funny little smirk and clever little eyeballs. Yeah, see, you know what I mean.
This feels personal.
Yeah, okay, see, there you go. Not an inappropriate clip, but nevertheless. Okay, Dan is sufficiently far away from his soundboard, so I'm
important.
Why was she underwater sounding there?
He's got some long ass arms, this motherfucker.
Okay, I'll stop.
All right, so.
But why was she underwater sounding there?
Well, we'll find out after this segment of the show. Last week's clip
indeed
was as follows.
Kukulkan.
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 Where he, like, it's unclear what he keeps saying. Kublai.
I'm sorry, Jesse. What? Can you please, like, think about your words?
I appreciate that, Dan, because you're absolutely correct. Like, Jesse, let's go ahead and rewind that. This is down. We've played the clip. It's somebody saying Kukulkan. And now.
Are you drunk?
Now, Dan and Jesse will have the opportunity. Jesse, please.
Okay.
Restate your guess.
Think first.
There's a TAS episode with Kukulkan.
Yep. All right. There you go. Yep. There we go. You know what? It's very similar to a lot of the other guesses we got. Dan, how about you?
You guys.
What you got, Dan?
Do you have anything more than TAS and somebody saying Kukulkan? Good guess, Jesse, but, you know, lacking a little bit of information.
Yes.
Oh, God. I remember this fucking episode of TAS.
Well, sure.
Kukulkan is like this dude.
Well, I mean,
or this thing, this being.
It's a snakey.
He's a snakey
creature. Kukulkan
is like
a
Kotal.
It was the one where they combine all the different earth myths together.
Yeah. It was a class, and we discussed this at length.
They have pyramids and other things and all sorts of different historical things all gathered into one, and Kukulkan was like the god of all of them or something.
Yeah, man.
Yes, you've definitely got more information there. We'll reveal the title in a moment of that episode.
Are you both plants right now?
Because you're right. It is a TAS episode, and it does involve mythological creatures.
What are other people's guesses?
Well, nobody had a correct guess this week. We had a lot of guesses. Nobody had a correct guess. Everyone else had the exact same guesses, basically, as Jesse.
Oh, shit.
Because plenty of folks were like, oh, this is from the animated series.
Not my fault. You can't cut it, Cornelia.
But they're like, I can't quite place it. Some people guessed. So honorable mention to Megan, Jeremy, and Melanie from Facebook, and Jared Roleplay from Mastodon. They all said, we know it's from TAS. We're not 100% sure beyond that. Some people had guesses. So nobody got it 100% correct.
You guys.
It was from the TAS episode, How Sharper Than a Serpent's Tooth.
What, did you do that on purpose?
I did. I said, How Sharper Than a Serpent's Tooth. Oh, there was no follow-up sound clip.
Boo. I did.
Now, I highly recommend that anybody who has not yet done so, go back and listen to any of our coverage of TAS episodes. We've covered all of them. We usually cover two in an episode. Please go back in our library.
It's the only one we've completed.
Those are some of the... No, we've completed many. We completed Picard.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. That was really stupid.
Lower Decks.
There's something amiss. You are making strange sounds.
Discovery.
And we've got... Deck. Well, Discovery, we didn't do the first couple seasons because they were...
You guys are...
Before we were podcasting. But... Anyway, How Sharper Than a Serpent's Tooth, go listen to our coverage of any TAS, but that one's a good one. And
do you want me to?
If you haven't seen TAS, please, like, do. Star Trek fans, like, you're kind of cheating yourselves.
It's really good.
If you haven't watched it, because, yeah, some of it's goofy, but most of it's, like, some of it's really fucking good, like, right and proper Star Trek, right?
Yeah.
You're missing some lore if you don't watch it, and you're missing some fun. Now, the Kukulkan episode is a classic. white people thinking they're being progressive by claiming that brown people accomplished everything by having help from aliens.
It's fine, though. Everything's fine.
They never say the Romans needed help from aliens. They don't say the Greeks needed help from aliens. But the pyramids had to be aliens.
Yeah.
The Mexican pyramids had to be aliens.
Oh, yeah.
Such a you thing to do, though.
So, yeah, it's a problematic episode, but an interesting one. So, no correct guesses this week, and I didn't. That's an advice to listeners. I guarantee you, there are people out there who knew exactly what episode it was from, but they figured, you know, so many people are going to know that they're like, we're not going to write in. Too many people are going to write in with the right guess. No, I think everyone who had the right guess did not write in.
So, I didn't.
I did.
I didn't.
So many people I did.
Are listening. I didn't.
It's got Star Trek.
I did.
I didn't.
I did.
I didn't. To submit guesses. Now.
I did.
I didn't.
I did.
I didn't.
I did.
You did.
You'll note that Dan is playing non-Where the Hell Have I Heard That Before clips. Unauthorized clips for this segment, but that's okay.
Not that I'm aware of.
So now I'm prepping our listeners because I'm going to play the new clip. I'm going to play it twice.
Because it's super nice.
And then you can write in at feedback@itsgotstartrek.com or DM us on any of the social medias at It's Got Star Trek with your guess. Okay.
You can't do that. You'll die.
All right. So this week's clip is as follows. I'm looking at Dan.
Such a you thing to do, though.
His finger was, I knew it was close to the screen. That's not the clip. This is the clip. It's coming. Dan is not in his Montessori position.
Do you want me to?
I want you to be in your Montessori position, Dan. Put your hands in your lap. Good. Yes. Okay. Yes. I appreciate the jerking off motion. That is acceptable because it keeps your hands busy.
Use your about? Right hand.
All right.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Here we go.
Most have one head.
All right. Okay. That's the idea, right? That's a clip. I'm going to play it one more time. I'm going to play this clip one more time, and then we will welcome your guesses. Here we go. Here comes the clip.
Kukulkan.
No!
No! No!
One for Ben.
God damn it. No. Sorry.
Oh, no.
That was my mistake.
God damn it.
Here we go.
Most have one head.
All right. So.
We don't know what he's into.
I know that guy.
Send your guesses in.
Maybe he likes that.
We will go over them next week. Get them into us Thursday, Friday is ideal. We usually record on Fridays.
Blow your mind.
Yeah. All right. Now, let's get back to our discussion, and we're going to hand it over to Danimal, the manimal, who's
Danimal.
Who's got some lists or
let's go on. You want to go on a journey?
Oh, yes. I do want to go.
Take us
on a drug-fueled journey that involves the hilarious sight gag of Uhura keeping changing, like adding to her costume every time they see her. Her costume gets more and more ridiculous. Did you notice that? So like when they first go to her, okay, Dan is just not as impressed with that. I mean, there's nothing to be impressed about. I liked it. I liked that gag that she kept getting more elaborate.
I don't know why you brought up that specifically.
It felt natural at the time, but I cannot recall well enough the previous 2 minutes to know whether or not it played off as naturally or not. We'll find out in the edit.
We're all on our own journey here. You need to follow your journey. Giving you my tricorder is not my journey.
Wait, what if your journey is our journey? Ours,
Yep, that's our journey. That does feel like your journey.
Why would my journey involve breaking my arm and maybe a dragon?
It's not my journey to know.
My journey is to do whatever I can to keep guests on their journey.
He is on his own journey.
Still so angry. I hoped your journey would help you with that.
Good luck on your journey.
That was wonderful, Dan.
That was a journey.
I like it when that guy's like, I don't mind repeating him.
Yes. Look, Dave Foley was great. And again, a reminder that he and everyone else on this planet is constantly fucked up and hilarious, which I think he played very well, where he was in charge, but was also a little loopy.
Did you bring up Uhura because you knew I was going to play a bunch of those journey kind of clips?
I did not. And we don't have the licensing to play.
I did.
To play any songs from the band Journey.
Right.
Not that we would.
I'm just curious.
Because
they suck.
Because you brought up Uhura right when I said Journey, and I thought that you somehow knew I was going to play those sounds because Uhura kept talking about going on journeys.
It's certainly possible that I subconsciously made the connection. Okay, that's like one of my favorite sounds ever. Seriously?
Yeah, it's from a...
You guys are...
Yes. I appreciated Uhura, the way she was, you know, it was nondescript.
There was so much smoke. They were smoking snake weed.
Snake weed.
Or is that what it's called? Snake weed?
They were just smoking.
They had that Dragon Ball.
Wait, what's like, what is
regular
it?
Weed?
But what is it? Is
snake
it,
leaf.
Snake leaf.
Snake leaf. That was like, that was the whole like, we need in Picard, or like, we need Raffi to be addicted to something so she's all down and out. But people will think it's stupid if we'll look like Republicans if we say she's addicted to marijuana.
Come on.
So we have to invent something new because like weed is like not a problem. Right?
Now we play by our rules.
So look, tons of fun stuff going on in this
tons of fun
episode. I know we've been bouncing back and forth, but so does the episode. That's part of the gag. A few gags we do need to talk about. One we can do right now, which is the whole Spock thinking he's hallucinating James Kirk.
Yeah.
The punchline that he's really not. I really enjoyed that. And watching it through the second time.
And he's like, I told you so many things.
Yeah.
It was like they did it right. Where it was plausible.
Like he was always like around the corner or something from like most of the other people, except for at the end. They were like, hey, Kirk has
And because Kirk makes it clear at the end that he obviously was fucking with Spock, because Spock kept saying you're a delusion, and Kirk clearly was just having fun going along with it.
So, Spock and Kirk started bonding a little bit in previous episodes, but maybe this is the point where Kirk and Spock become best friends, because now Kirk has secrets on Spock.
Well, I think they became best friends in like a maybe they did a mind meld and stuff like that. I think this is the episode where they're not best friends. Kirk just has a bunch of shit on Spock, and so Spock's like, I don't know if we're best friends, but like, I guess I gotta pretend to be for the rest of our fucking lives.
And the other guys are plants.
Yeah. They are plants.
That's my favorite part.
Just
in general, the Spock.
Are you both plants right now?
I know it's an obvious gag, but it was a well-performed and well-structured obvious gag of Spock being high off his fucking ass, but acting like to everybody else, they think he's acting normal.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not going to necessarily speak from personal experience, but it is funny how you can be on some mind altering substances and everyone can think you're totally fine. And like inside you think like the world is fucking breaking apart, but maybe because of your personality or whatever, you know, people are just like, oh yeah, you know, like Spock is an extreme version of that and played hilariously by Ethan Peck, holding his shit together while things were clearly going crazy. And honestly, this is a funny version of what happened in the previous episode, which was all horrific, where Spock understood. Spock is that classic person who's like, I'm like under the influence of something. So even these things feel real, my brain is fighting to remind me that they're not, but at the same time, it's like this kind of liminal space where he has to ask the question, are you plants? Right? So he is fucked up. You are fucked up if he has to ask that question. Right? So he wasn't like...
But nobody can tell but him. Everybody's like, whatever, you're Spock. And he's like, no, I'm totally hallucinating.
They can tell when he asks a question like, are you plants right now? That's what's funny is they're like, oh.
Okay. My mind, your leaves. My thoughts, your root system.
Hilarious guy.
But like when he goes,
photosynthetic technology?
I believe this is photosynthetic technology. I assume that was only theoretical.
So the funny thing is, though, is that he looks at a plant and thinks it's some kind of new, like, kind of computer, photosynthesis computer.
Maybe it is.
But the funny thing is he actually got the correct information from it.
I'm not 100, like, because you're right. I'm not 100% sure what we're supposed to conclude. I kind of leaned, especially after the second showing, second viewing, I kind of leaned towards, it was a computer. It was like a weird plant computer in disguise.
Yeah.
But he was just so stoned.
Yeah.
And look, I've seen some people complain. They're like, oh, why would Spock mind meld with a plant? He fucking mind melded with a V'ger. He mind melded with the Nomad satellite. He's mind melded with the fucking whales, George and Gracie in Star Trek IV, where like Dan and I went to the theater and I ate the wrong thing and like I was freaking out once they did the time travel shit. Like everything was fine.
Slingshot around the
scene. I had like a cannabis capsule. Everything was fine up until the time travel shit, and then my world fucking broke apart.
And then I always have to bring this up. And on the drive home, I thought that Patrick was like really stressed out about my driving. I thought I was like, I'm driving fine. I'm going the speed limit. What about you? Because it looked like he was like gripping the sides of like the door.
It didn't
like really
look
tightly.
Like I was. I was.
Well, I thought you were like freaked out by my driving.
I know, but I wasn't. You even asked me, like, am I driving okay? And you're like, I was like, what? I was like, no, you're fine. As the universe was just slipping past me.
As you're like grabbing, as you're clutching at the door. And I thought it was like
trucks zooming. It was like monstrous robot creatures zooming by us. Anyway, you know, you live and learn. Dr. Strangelove.
That's Goofy.
Oh, is it? No, that's both. I think it's both.
It's Goofy.
Well, it's originally from Goofy.
It's a Wilhelm.
But like in Dr. Strangelove, they do a similar.
Yeah.
It's what you say? It's from Wilhelm.
No, he's talking about the scroll? It's not the Wilhelm scream.
It's not exactly.
It's somewhat similar.
It's when Goofy falls off the mountain.
Yeah, it's a Goofy. Like, woo.
Goofy. He sounds like, I mean, you're referring to something specific, but it sounds like you're saying something philosophical and metaphorical. It's like, it's like the Temba when the walls fell, Goofy when he fell off the mountain. So,
such a you thing to do, though.
Lots of smoke with Uhura.
Yeah, a lot of smoke.
Mbenga being the bartender again. I fucking look, it's stupid, but I laugh.
But it was so cheesy.
It's great.
Like, okay, maybe you can think of this is in cheesy in just the right way to make it better. Yeah. But when he was flipping the bottles, but it was obvious he couldn't flip the bottles, so they just changed camera angles. Yeah. It was so silly looking. Yeah.
But also that he kept, you know, they kept smashing until the end.
But at the end, it's like every time he flipped a bottle, it was obviously not him. And so it's just like, why did Why did you have to do that?
The only ones were him, were like where he's dropping it. Like that's right. Where there was like, it's obviously in Benga.
You could argue that it was so cheesily done that it was funny, but like, I don't know.
To me, that played into it.
Oh, why was Ortega's talking like she was underwater in that one? When she says, there was one part when she says, important.
Important, and hard to say. That's a reference to a They Might Be Giants song.
Is it important, Barton?
Yeah, on John Henry. Which song is it?
This is like right around bomb time, I think, and she's looking.
Bomb time!
And like, I think Uhura's looking at Ortega's, and Ortega's goes,
important.
You don't remember that?
That's just, this is the effect
like
of their
big avocado.
They're still all fucked up. So that was, they were trying to indicate.
Yeah. Yeah, but I think that was like, it was weird because that was the only time they did that, and I don't know like, how I was supposed to make that connection.
They weren't super consistent in how to show that people were fucked up. That was Ortega's wasn't fucked up, but they were. That was them. Probably a shortcut. Yeah, maybe even a post. Maybe that was in the edit. They were like, "Oh shit, we need to clarify that Una and them are still fucked up, even though they were supposed to not be fucked up anymore." But
she's taking this too far.
Convenient to the plot. There.
Stakes.
They're still fucked up. Yeah, talking about.
Oh no.
Real quick about
Pike did more of the. I'm sorry, Pike did more of the like the weird
the giggle,
the weird giggle noise.
I enjoy the weird giggle noise.
Yeah,
again, maybe not a great captain, but the giggle noise is charming.
That's good.
Before we get too far from Mbenga as the bartender, it is another little bit of a mini Easter egg where he refers to the drink being it's green. That's a double Easter egg because
rainbow.
The first time that came up was in TOS. Scotty uses the phrase the episode By Any Other Name, which we haven't covered yet, but that's with the Kelvins and Andromeda Galaxy. It's a crazy episode. But Scotty is offering a drink to this alien, and he doesn't know what it is. And the alien's like, "What is it?" And Scotty kind of looks at it, and he's like, "It's green because it's green." And then that's followed up in TNG's Relics, which is the episode where Scotty gets stuck in a transporter buffer, which they make isn't it this episode where they make a joke where Scotty's all like, "Cross my heart and hope to be trapped in a transporter buffer."
Maybe a link shot,
right? And in Relics, that's they get Scotty out of a transporter buffer, and he's on 10 forward, and he's hanging out with Data, and Data pours him a drink, and Scotty's like, "What is this drink?" And Data says, "It is green," because he can't say "it's" because of the contraction thing. Right, now this is the third layer of that, which takes place earlier in the timeline, but later in the production timeline of the universe.
What are you doing? Why are you doing that? I don't
know. Oh my god!
Isn't there like a TOS?
Oh my god! Oh my god! Oh my god! Oh my god! Oh my god!
Go ahead, Jesse. Go ahead.
He like orders like a couple of liters of whiskey or something.
Well,
it's like, whoa, dude. Take it
easy. It's the best part.
All right. As we're nearing the end of the episode, any other points? We definitely have a couple of another little minor things. Again, I wish I had time to isolate this, but I only realized this during my second viewing of the episode.
Is it Dragon Bomb or Balm? I think it's Bomb.
Bomb, yeah. I think it's Dragon Bomb, some sort of thing. But
they did the whole thing. It was supposed to be for the whole room.
Now, like Dan, when you listen back in the edit, you will. That is a definite. You interrupted me literally in the middle of my sentence. The Star Trek.
Shoot me in the face.
I will, but not with
just
a gun.
Just you wait.
Not with a gun.
I didn't like change what you were trying to say. I just interjected a little thing.
Yes, that was totally off topic. So to rewind, while watching this the second time, I was paying particular attention to the music. They used lots of fun music. It was really well applied. However, I also noticed a couple things. And again, I apologize that I didn't have time to actually cut the clip out, which would have been more useful and more professional
cut
for a podcast. But there was one point where they used the Star Trek II music sting. It's really hard to describe, but it's when in Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan, when the Enterprise is first encountering the Reliant, but does not yet know that Khan and the bad guys are on there. And there's a few musical notes that they utilized in this episode. subtly, but very well. And look, I'm going to have to watch it a few more times to, because there was a lot of stuff going on with the music in this episode and the sound design that was great. Even some of the creature sounds, like the Tribble and that weird little creature on the couch that you barely notice, except that like, its eyes kind of open and it looks all fucked up. It's all like,
was the music sound this?
Yeah, that's the sound. That's from Star Trek too. That's like right before the Reliant attacks them. Yeah. And I was like, yeah. Khan is all like, we're one big happy fleet. By the way, look.
By the by.
Folks who don't listen all the way to the end or who have fallen asleep, every week when we put the episode together, I try to add a fun little clip from the episode or whatever.
Something is always fun.
To the end of the episode. And last week's is a good one, I think. Last week's is a good one. I mentioned that because Dan reminded me because the TAS sound is in... involved. So other points,
I like you two having fun together. You should keep it going.
I enjoyed that, and that was good captaining. Mm-hmm. Ordering them to
have a good time,
keep hanging out,
be good to each other.
Yeah. Okay, now hear me out,
because
I haven't figured out a good way to articulate But the final shot, you know, before the end credits, it was fun that they had the little end credits thing. I enjoyed that. But the final shot of the actual episode proper of Ortegas kind of smiling while walking out of the, you know, engineering, it really felt like a TOS shot to me. It seemed, it felt like it was like purposefully framed and everything. I just think there's a lot of maybe even TNG, but like definitely some TOS shots where the end episode, the music is flaring and the characters are like kind of going about their business. And again, I'm not articulating
they had
it well.
Like a red shirt party.
Maybe I'm imagining it, but I would be curious to hear from listeners if you had that feeling as well. Because a lot of the episode was directed in kind of a comical way, Lower Decks way, a lot of very symmetrical shots, a lot of low down shots, kind of making the characters looming in the center, that sort of thing.
Well, that's all about.
But that last shot really felt like old school. Even in the widescreen, it really felt old school.
Well, I'd rather not faint though.
I like when he says that. Like when she's talking about the bomb and he's like,
yeah. Well, I'd rather not faint though.
I don't know. I for some reason that line tickled me when he said that.
Yeah. Well, and
it's just the way his delivery.
Well, look, Martin Quinn is great as Scotty. I complain about his age, but look, I'm past that.
Well, he's too young?
Yeah, Scotty's supposed to be like way older, like at least 10, 15 years older than
him. And he's smaller.
He seems younger than them, right? But yeah. But Martin Quinn is great, so I'm not complaining because he really does a great job with this character.
He doesn't seem brawny like Scotty is.
Yeah, he's not as stout.
Yeah,
as Scotty becomes later.
Stouts.
But again, just
but a, even young, even
computer.
Like even TOS Scotty is
yeah,
still...
he's stout. Yeah, but again, TOS Scotty is 10 years older, 10, 15 years older than Kirk. Kirk is like 35. Scotty's like fucking 45, 50 or some shit.
Good point.
Yeah. We referenced it briefly, but I just wanted to bring it up. I know we got to close things down, but that tied up in the chair gag.
Oh, yeah.
I don't want to let that go because, well, look, we've seen it in Indiana Jones, a great version of that in Indiana Jones and The Last Crusade.
Yeah.
And we've seen, like, it's a trope of, like, totally. Getting tied up and together. When they hit their heads, that was like, they're playing this, the comedy is that they're playing this for real. This is what would actually happen if a couple of people got tied up to a chair, they would hit their fucking heads, they'd fall over,
It's always something, they get bagged, it's always the same, they get bagged or hit over the head, they wake up in chairs facing away from each other, tied in, and they're all yelling at each other over their shoulder, and then they fall over.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
Which is, that's the standard bit, and then they added so much flavor to it, based off of their existing relationship, and again, I laughed so fucking hard when they did that whole like adjusting, and because they have bags on their heads, they just smash their heads into each other, which is like, yeah, that's exactly what would happen in this scenario, right? You're not going to like know how close the person is. Anyway.
Hey.
Well done, well framed. And I was super appreciative that they didn't try to go like, you know, last minute serious or something. I didn't think they would, but
it turns out it was Dendru that like,
well, that's the thing. They did the gag and it was like again, it felt very Lower Decks in that sense where they set up the joke, but they don't like stretch out like the they just are like, here's the joke and here's the punchline immediately.
Yeah, because they weren't, they didn't have a scenario. They didn't have to get out to save themselves. Denji was doing it for their own good.
Exactly. Right, you know? Yeah. And I appreciated
so
that.
So it was a subversion of it.
Yeah,
a little bit.
Really good. Fun stuff.
I didn't see you there.
Any other little bits and pieces, bits and bobs, odds
Zoops
and ends?
And I think
we used to call them odds and ends.
Blarbs and snarbs.
Flibbles and flobbles.
Odds and ends.
Yeah. Fun. Yeah, we didn't enjoy.
Fun.
We didn't.
Fun.
I've heard different things about this episode online, but I haven't interrogated the whole fandom or whatever. I think some people maybe thought it was a little silly. I think most. I get the kind of impression.
You
know, certainly, it might be a closed loop or bubble or whatever. I think most of our followers and people we follow on social media and stuff, they seem to dig the episode.
Do you think when Kirk said,
I mean, at some point I'll leave to go back to my ship.
I mean, do you think that was kind of a joke? Because it's 100%. Like, because Kirk is just
at
like
some
hanging
point.
Out. Yeah. It's like, of course he's going to the planet at the same time they are. And of course he's just, I'm not going to go back to my ship first. I'm going to go back to your ship.
I forget. What is his ship? Is it like the Lexington or something?
He was, well, I know. Yeah, he was at some point on the Lexington. He was like the first officer on the Farragut.
Farragut.
He's probably on the Farragut. I think at this point he's gotten promoted
to the
first officer.
He's gotten to...
What?
I thought he has a command at this point.
No, I don't think he doesn't have a command.
No,
he's
his first
officer. I think Enterprise was his first command.
Okay, word.
Yeah, because he was the youngest captain at that point.
Right, right.
I mean, I know that was the original lore, and Riker was trying to beat it and didn't because of, you know, this, that, and the other thing. Because
of Picard.
Yeah. I enjoy that they hit the critique face on, head on. Apply directly to forehead.
Oh boy.
With the Kirk stuff. Because, look, some people complain. I get it. I think we've probably been a little like, okay, we like the character. We like what they're doing. But at the same time, it's still like, okay.
Listen to this.
Oh boy.
What's that? Ow!
There's somebody just having a good time.
Is that
in the background.
Part now? Is that somebody in the ship in the area or the planet or whatever? Or is that part of the score?
Where did that? No, that's not part of the score.
It sounds because it's timed perfectly with the score.
Where does that happen? Is that in the on the planet?
That's
on the
planet.
In the bar.
It's on the planet somewhere.
I also like that they didn't get into the fact that like everyone's there having fun and all high, but they're also interacting with each other. So how does that impact people's enjoyment? The premise of the episode is that in the end, it all is all good. Right. But like, again, you have this whole people, a gang of criminals. You have these people relaxing who Laan threatens. There's a whole bingo nonsense. But you kind of get the impression that it's like everyone's still having a good time in the end. So I don't know.
Stop. Are you Lieutenant Ortegas and Lieutenant Scott? Oh, boy. Door closes. Like, it's just the way it's timed. It sounds timed with the score.
Oh, boy.
See, because he goes, ow. They timed it at least.
Yeah.
It wasn't accidentally placed.
I think it's
it didn't just so happen to fit in.
I think it's a well-constructed, well-produced...
Yes, sir.
Wiener.
Well-acted
It's a wiener.
Episode.
It's a wiener, baby.
I really enjoyed it. It probably is one of my favorite episodes.
Yes.
Again, accounting for recency bias.
It was the greatest Lower Decks episode ever.
I mean, there's a lot of things... There's a lot of Picard that at the time I was like, oh, I enjoyed this. And then I look back, I was like, oh, fuck, I don't want to watch that again.
I enjoyed it. It definitely was not one of my more favorite ones, but I did enjoy it.
Yeah. Yeah, well, there you go. That gets back to our earlier conversation about people having different opinions about different things.
What is it? A thousand ideas and 1,000 permutations?
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah. It was said by Abraham Lincoln, as I recall, right?
Yeah.
Just kidding.
Abraham.
Next week. Next week.
Abraham Lincoln.
You got me curious, but we're going to talk about that after the podcast. And not on Patreon. I think that's even too spicy for Patreon.
That's
Jesse's a big history buff. So him
saying the explanation is that you really
Jesse saying Abraham Lincoln is because he's a history guy is more loaded than you might think. It's not just a fun pun.
Fun pun.
We're discovering.
It's a fun pun.
We're uncovering one of Jesse's historical king.
Van Avocados. He's Zepto second.
I am Kohra.
The next week we will continue our weekly coverage of Star Trek Strange New World season 4 with the episode A Case of Chiaroscuro.
You know it.
Chiaroscuro. Which that word means the technique of using light and shade in pictorial representation.
Hell yeah.
Cool.
Which is...
That's so interesting.
That's
somewhat ironic.
I'm fascinated.
We'll talk about that next week. So, any final thoughts?
Buttons.
Jesse, Dan, any final thoughts?
Say excellent.
Excellent.
Egg salad.
Egg salad.
So buttons.
All right. So do you pull out any of...
Are you both plants right now?
Any other ones from your repertoire, Dan?
And that's precisely why I added the alert system.
This is a part of the episode. Like, the beginning part of the episode is where Dan is, like, pointing at his watch. He's like, come on, guys, we got to start. We got things to do. We got errands to run tomorrow.
What's the name of the episode?
Stuff like that. And then this is the part of the episode where Dan is like, you know, I really want Patrick to spend a lot of extra time editing this.
You
episode.
Asked me if I had anything else to say.
Mom used to say that hearts are infinite, so we should make use of that space.
Look, drunk Scotty's great Scotty. Yeah. It's authentic.
Great Scotty.
Great Scott.
He's like everyday Scotty.
All right. So we will talk to you all, you know, the websites and all that. We don't need to bother with that this week. So we'll talk to you next week. Goodbye.
We sure hope you'll come visit us again soon.
Avenge me!
I should rest.
Where would I stay?
I apologize for the mess.
Is Captain Pike here?
Not that I'm aware of.
Where's Lon?
She is on a more spirited journey than my own. As you can no doubt see, I am quite incapacitated.
You are?
Entirely.
You seem pretty normal.
Do you see James Kirk in this room?
No. Unless he's invisible. Cloaked.
I've been hallucinating a manifestation of James Kirk. We've been playing board games.